Greetings to you, my friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, on behalf of Pittsburgh Presbytery and Crestfield Camp and Conference Center, its staff, and its ministry team. Again, how blessed I am to be here with you this morning. I heard wonderful things about you from my colleague, Reverend Dr. Beverly James, as she worshiped and visited with you last week. I told her you can always expect to receive a warm welcome from Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and Beverly's experience certainly reinforced that. Thank you for being the Church of Jesus Christ that you are, and for exhibiting such radical hospitality. The love that each one of you has for Jesus shines through as newcomers walk through those doors back there. And when we walk out together after we worship, it will be that love of Jesus that will help each of us make a difference in our community for the Lord this week through the power of the Holy Spirit. I told you I struggled with this passage this week. And when I read and reread and read again today's gospel message, I thought of a perhaps familiar to you nursery rhyme. Mary, Mary, quite contrary, how does your garden grow? With silver bells and cockle shells and pretty maidens all in a row? Do you remember that nursery rhyme? And what the heck does it mean? That nursery rhyme can be bewildering and intriguing and perhaps even profound when you peel back all the layers. And honestly, that's how I felt about this text, this gospel lesson from Luke. When I read it and reread it and read it some more, there has to be something truly profound when we get to the core of this parable, when we peel the layers back and get to the essence of this parable. What did Jesus really mean in this parable? Something profound and bewildering and beautiful has to be at the core of this parable. But what the heck is it? Let's look at it together. As we try to understand this parable and how it relates to our own lives as we walk out those doors back there after worship, let's take a closer look at what Luke has been writing about and what Jesus, through Luke, wants us to understand. There has to be more than this nonsensical nursery rhyme about pretty maidens, cockle shells all in a row, and a garden. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem when, in the preceding verses, he encounters a group of people concerned about the current events of the day. A group of Galileans had died under the rule of Pilate. It was a terrible human tragedy. And just as today, when terrible human tragedies strike, we look for explanations. We need to know why. And so these people look to Jesus to try to understand why. Jesus, tell us, why did this happen? Help us understand, make meaning for us of this tragic event. Now, in the past, in the Jewish tradition of Deuteronomy, illness and tragedy were thought to be the result of a person's illness, of his ill doings, of his sins. Job's friend, you remember Job and his friends, they are all perfect examples of this kind of thinking, as they tried to convince Job that all his tragedy was really a result of his own misbehavior. But Jesus, in his typical countercultural way, understands the people right away and works to help them understand and learn more about themselves rather than just react to the tragedy itself. Jesus uses this as a teachable moment to push his followers to a new understanding of themselves, of the world, and of their own behavior. Jesus, in a clear and resounding no, lets these followers know that it is not the Galilean sins that have caused this tragedy. For Jesus, the cause is not the point of this teachable moment. In fact, Jesus even goes on to appears to be a one-upping, I can outdo you kind of thing, when he tells this group of people about an even bigger event of tragedy, about a tower falling and killing 18 people. But again, Jesus, in his attempt to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord's kingdom, certainly coming sooner rather than later, wants the people to focus on preparing themselves for that time and advises these people twice to repent. Repent. Immediately following these commands to repent, Jesus tells the parable of the fruitless fig tree. Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? The owner of a vineyard, not a grove of fig trees, but the owner of a vineyard, a plethora of vines for grape growing, comes to the vineyard to look at his special fig tree. It has to be special. It's a fig tree in the middle of a vineyard. And whether he planted it there because he thought it was special, or whether it's a nomad, you know, something that just happened to come because, oh, maybe some birds had ate some fig seeds. Well, whether it's a nomad or it's he planted it there, it's special. It's a fig tree among vines. And the owner, after watching this fig tree grow for 3 years, as it watches it get stronger and bigger and have more leaves and bigger branches and a stronger trunk, as the owner watches this fig tree grow and become mature and hopefully bear fruit, is so disappointed when he comes for the third year and he wants to eat those figs. Oh, he can taste them in his mouth, and there's nothing there. The owner becomes frustrated, so frustrated. His frustration turns into exasperation. And after he sees this fruitless fig tree, the owner says, "Cut it down! It's only taking up space and wasting the space where we could have vines growing with lots of grapes. Cut it down. Get the axe and chop it down and remove it. Judgment is past. The tree is to be removed. Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? Are there fruitless plants and trees in your garden that need cut down?" But the gardener comes calmly onto the scene. Can't you see him? Looking at the tree, looking at its bark, at its beautiful branches, at its leaves, stooping down, feeling the soil, putting it in his hands, studying it all. And the gardener says, "Wait a minute. Let's not act so hastily here. Give me a year. Let me work with the earth around it and bring in some manure. And let's see what happens." And with a few calm words, after a loud display of anger and emotion, grace is shown to the fruitless tree. A year is given to practice new growing methods and habits. Mary, Mary, how does your garden grow? What do you need to do to bear fruit in the next year? How does your garden need to change? The gardener has brought grace. Grace that is given for no known reason. Grace that is just calmly given. grace that the tree does nothing to receive, but only to accept. Grace. And hopefully, the fig tree will bear fruit next year after a year of grace. After a year of the gardener tilling and keeping the soil and the tree. Tilling and keeping are one of the first commandments. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are instructed to till and to keep the ground so that new growth can result. So too, we must till and keep. So too, we must also allow our own selves to be tilled and kept. And what do you think that tilling and keeping is about exactly? What do you think Jesus had in mind when he told this parable after those stories of tragedies? What is the meaning of all this? For me, in this season of Lent, I think the Lord is saying, we are to be preparing ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our souls, for the passion of Christ, for the death of Christ, and then for the beautiful and wonderful resurrection of Christ. We need to recognize that grace exists. We do nothing, for grace exists merely because God the Father loves each of us. God will pass judgment, but Christ will work within us to give us grace. We need only to receive that grace and to respond by repenting so that we too can grow and mature and bear fruit. Tilling and keeping, learning and practicing new growing methods as we work to receive grace from our Lord and give grace to others. One commentator writes that perhaps the manure that the gardener applies is actually the remains of the action of Christ on the cross. Not literally, but figuratively. He says it more effectively than I ever could, so listen to his words. But by the foolishness of God, that is not the way it works. By the folly of the cross, Jesus becomes sin for us, and he goes outside the camp for us, and he is relegated to the dump for us, and he becomes garbage and compost and manure for us. And then he comes to us. The vine dresser who said on the cross, forgive them to his Lord and Father, comes to us with his own body dug deep by nails and spears, and his own being made dung by his death, and he sends our roots resurrection. He does not come to see if we are good. He comes to disturb the caked conventions by which we pretend to be good. He does not come to see if we are sorry. He knows our repentance isn't worth the hot air we put into it. He does not come to count anything. Unlike the Lord in the parable, he cares not even a fig for any part of our record, good or bad. He comes only to forgive, for free, for nothing, good or bad. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful gift. And so, my friends, I call you for this week, for the remainder of Lent, for a season of repenting. Repent and love Jesus. Turn to Christ over and over again. Accept God's grace given through Christ and pray that we will bear fruit. It is by repenting, by turning to God in personal confession, that we receive the gift of the gardener, and the ground in which we are planted is aerated and fertilized. Prayers of repentance and confession are conversion and transformation. Through prayers of confession and repentance, we come to realize that we don't have it together. that we are not all-powerful or all-knowing, or that we are not faultless. By repenting, we develop a relationship with God through the action of Jesus that is one of love. Confession or repentance are essential for figs to grow. Certainly, the Lord wants to hear your prayers of intercession, for asking for help for others. But the Lord wants to get in the muck and mire with you. And the Lord wants to hear your prayers of repentance and confession. The Lord will use those prayers and your vulnerability to grow closer to you. Your relationship will deepen with Christ. And in the end, isn't that just what we want? A deeper relationship with Christ? The growing season is coming upon us. Punxsutawney Phil didn't see his shadow, so spring should be approaching. It's right around the corner. Gardens are being tilled. I mean, up in Slippery Rock, they're out there tilling up those gardens already. Plants are being started. The farmers have and will continue to add manure to the fields, enriching their potential for fruit bearing. My friends, allow the gardener to work in your life this week. Spend intentional, deliberate time in repenting and declaring before God your personal sins. And then be prepared for all the growing in and of your garden, and for all the fruit you and your garden will bear. Don't be Mary Mary quite contrary, but pray, come Lord Jesus, be my guest. To the glory and the glory alone be the Father's. Amen and amen. Amen.